Herbal Musings, the Heart of Herbs Herbal School Podcast. I'm Demetria Clark. I am the director of Heart of Herbs, and I've taught over 600 herbalists and aromatherapists throughout the world. You can read more about the Herbal School and myself at www.heartofherbs.com. In this, our first podcast of the year, we'll be covering wildcrafting, harvesting, and drying of herbs. All of these techniques and practices can be learned by attending Heart of Herbs Herbal School. We have many different herbal programs, such as the Certified Herbalist, Master Herbalist, and Herbals for Women's program. We also offer aromatherapy and herbal skincare for business programs. If you're interested, you can visit us at www.heartofherbs.com. Wildcrafting is a harvesting technique using wild plants. I often recommend to my students not to pick more than 10% of an existing stand. I even suggest that they pick less if possible. Less is always more. We don't ever want to inadvertently deplete a local stand. No matter what percentage of the stand you pick, you should never harvest more than you can process and use immediately. Before gathering herbs, get to know the environment. Study it. Is it healthy or diseased? Look at the ground. Look at the soil. Is there lots of debris in it? Garbage? Bits of broken glass? Does it smell? Is the environment chemically safe? Don't take herbs from contaminated habitats, like the sides of roads, or from the surrounding areas of factories and other blemishes on the landscape, which may have tainted the earth. Remember that the plant stores the environment's energy, and the plant receives its energy from the ground, the earth, water, and the air. If the air is polluted, then more than likely the herb is also polluted. Make wildcrafting a spiritual activity. Ask the plant divas for acquiescence before you take something. Always give something back. Traditionally, indigenous people have used tobacco, cornmeal, or something special to them. You can also do this to make an offering to the healing spirits and the earth. Planting roots or seeds is also a good way to replenish the plant stand and give back to nature. Waste not, want not. By no means take more than you need. It is very important to realize that others in the community may also want to harvest these plants. Consider that animals and insects also have to rely on these plants for food, pollination, and other necessary activities. I can't think of anything sadder than coming across a plant stand in the woods that has been hacked up to be harvested. Do not ever pick protected plants. This may be obvious to some of you herbies out there, but these plants are protected for a reason. Regrettably, they are not always easy for an amateur to identify. They are not always flashy or showy plants. They may appear plentiful if a lot of the plant is in one area. Try to identify these plants by using a good field guide and local regulations on plant statuses. You can also find a list of protected plants at your local extension services or through United Plant Savers. Some plants that are protected in Vermont are not protected in New Hampshire. Everyone who picks plants in the wild should try to make known to themselves if the plant is a native protected plant. If one has any doubt, then don't pick the plant. You don't need it that badly. Harvesting. Harvest time for an herb is best determined by the growing state of the herb, rather than a specific date or month. Most herbs are ready to be harvested just as the flower buds first appear. The leaves contain the maximum amount of volatile oils at this stage of growth, giving the greatest flavor and fragrance to the finished product. Roots. Roots should be harvested in the fall. Some people harvest them in the spring, and that's fine too. If roots are taken from another time, their nutrients and energy are being used to feed the foliage of the plant. The roots should be taken when the soil is dry, so they dry faster. Remember this in the fall. The nutrients and the healing power fall to the root, and in the spring, they spring back into the plant. Remember, the roots hold the plant's lifeblood, and we must collect them in a manner that honors this. When harvesting roots, dig up only what you need. When you harvest a root, you kill the whole plant. Barks. Harvest barks in the spring and fall when the sap is running. In the spring, the sap runs from the roots up to the above-ground parts of the plants. The reverse is true as it becomes latent for the winter. Through these times, the dark bark should easily peel from the wood. It's also good to find already felled pieces of wood that are freshly fallen to take the bark from, so the plant sustains the least amount of damage. Never cut around the tree through the bark in a solid line around the trunk. This kills the tree. This is always the saddest thing to see when walking in the woods. Use broken branches, twigs, and peeling sections first. Fileable bark cannot be had from rotting or dead branches. We must try to do the least amount of damage to the stand when we harvest. Bark is really quite easy to collect if we follow the simple, basic ground rules. Leaves. Leaves should be gathered in their prime. Leaves should be collected in clear, dry weather, in the morning after the dew is gone and before the sun is not yet high in the sky. They have the most volatile oils at this time. If the leaves is diseased or discolored, don't harvest it. When harvesting plants, it's never good to be greedy and to take sections of the plant that we don't need just so we can get more, or to take sections that are slightly diseased because we need to harvest a certain amount. If the plant is a flowering plant, then harvest before the plant flowers or when the flowering is done. During flowering, the plant is giving most of its energy to make beautiful flowers. Do not ever harvest herbs from sprayed areas or other areas that may have been sprayed. So this means if your neighbor is spraying along your fence line, it's a possibility they're spraying your yard too. Flowers. Flowers should be harvested right after they've opened. Do this early. You want the flower in its prime. Flowers usually contain the best medicine from the plant, so take them when they are in their prime. Do not take bruised or broken or diseased flowers. Seeds. Seeds should be harvested also in their prime. This can be hard because they will fall or float away when the wind blows. Ready. To harvest seeds, take part of the plant that has the seed and allow it to ripen and harvest. Store seeds in a cool, dark place until needed. Keep your seeds dry. Some plant seeds need to be frozen in order to germinate, so be sure to research your seed. If you're going to do your own harvesting, the following are some things you should keep in mind. Herbs should be collected in dry weather. Annuals are plants that complete their growth cycle in one season, such as basil, and then they should be cut to the ground. Annual herbs can be cut back quite severely during harvest. Using a sharp knife or pruning shears, cut just above the leaf or pair of leaves, leaving 4 to 6 inches of the stem for later growth. However, if an annual herb is grown for its seed, it should not be cut back and used for the leaves. In these cases, allow the plants to mature fully, then harvest them. Collect the seed heads when they are turning brown by cutting them from the plants and drying them on a tray made of fine wire mesh. biennials, which require two growing seasons in which to go from seed to seed, such as parsnips and anise, should be cut about halfway down. Perennials like delphinium or lavender die back seasonally and produce new growth from the perinating part. These should be cut about halfway down. Leafy perennial herbs should not be cut back as heavily as annuals. Only about one-third of the top growth should be removed at a time, and in some cases, only the leafy tip should be removed. Careful pruning ensures that new growth will be produced and a compact habit of forming of growth maintained. Most perennial herbs will be ready to harvest just prior or during the early part of July, with a second harvest possibly in September in the cases of herbs such as tarragon and oregano. A sharp knife or pair of pruning shears are necessary tools when harvesting herbs. Cut them and strip off the flowers, small leaves, and the very small stems. Dry them by tying them in small bunches or hanging them in a warm, dry place. Another simple way to dry green herbs is to take a small amount of the cut herb and wrap them loosely in newspaper. Tie a string around the middle of the paper and hang in a warm, dry place. Within a few days, the herbs will be dry, and then they can be bottled. Drying hints. To dry the herbs, use racks made of fine wire mesh. I personally feel that plastic or metal affect the quality. You can also use a mesh cloth. That's what I like the best. Place them in a dark, dry place. Leaves and flowers can be put on the drying racks as they are. Roots should be cut into smaller pieces, from 1/8 to 1/4 of an inch, so they'll be easier to use, and they'll dry quicker. Leaves require a couple of days to a week to dry, flowers about 2 weeks, and roots up to a month. You can also use a food dehydrator. I've heard wonderful things about the American Harvest /Nesco dehydrator, and that it's a good brand. Be sure that your herbs are entirely dry before putting them away, or they'll end up molding, and then you have to throw them out. If you discover mold, throw the herb out immediately. Store your herbs in dark glass bottles. Store the bottles in a dark, dry place. You can also use contact paper or spray paint to make blackened bottles. Students have reported great results with that. If you've dried more herbs than you're going to use, you can put your leftovers in the freezer right after drying. This decreases oxidization. For medicinal reasons, dried herbs are not always preferable to fresh ones, but sometimes they are because they contain a more concentrated amount of active ingredients. The exceptions are, though, garlic is better fresh because it contains not fixed compounds that deteriorate when dried. What's more, there's much more research concerning echinaceas focused on the juice of the fresh pressed herb. If that's how you want to take your echinacea, then you'll have to use the plants when they're freshly picked. Stinging nettle contains compounds that break down when dried. You can also follow recommendations for preserving this herb by freezing it instead. When drying whole branches or stems, first wash and dry. Then gather 5 to 8 stems together and tie them in a bundle. Place the bundle in a brown paper bag with the stems extended out the open end and hang in a warm, dry place. Make sure it's dark and the temperature is between 70 and 80 degrees Fahrenheit. Depending on temperature and moisture, drying time will vary from 2 to 4 weeks. Tray drying is usually used for short-stemmed herbs or for individual leaves. An old window screen or smaller drying tray can be fashioned from 2x2 lumber, and screening usually works as a drying tray. The tray should be kept in a warm, dark place until the herbs are dry. An ordinary gas, electric, or microwave oven can be used for quicker drying of herbs. Care must be taken for herbs can't be desiccated too quickly at too high a temperature because much of the flavor, oil, and color will be lost. When drying with a conventional oven, place the leaves or stems on a cookie sheet or shallow pan at a warm temperature of no more than 180 degrees for 3 to 4 hours with the oven door open. It doesn't have to be all the way open. Keep an eye on it. You don't want anything to catch on fire. You don't want to fall asleep while you're doing this. Make sure you keep your eyes on what you're doing. Personally, I don't advocate the microwave oven method, but I do know some people really do like it. When using a microwave oven, place the clean stems or leaves on a paper plate or towel and set the control temperature on high for 1 to 3 minutes Turn the stems over or mix the leaves every 30 seconds. Roots are thicker than seeds, flowers, and leaves, which makes the drying process longer. Some roots that are dried successfully are burdock, sassafras, ginseng, ginger, and comfrey. Roots should be dug carefully during the plant stage of dormancy. During this period of time, there's food stored in the plant cells. Most generally, this is during the fall or winter. Scrub them clean with a toothbrush or a brush and cut them lengthwise. The smaller roots may be left whole. Drying is achieved more readily in an oven on a very low temperature for several hours. Make sure the oven is set on a very low heat, about 150 to 180 degrees. The website of our podcast this time is one that's special to me. It's Maya Healing Arts. You can find it at Maya, M-A-I-A, healingarts.com. This is a site by a former Heart of Herbs herbal student, and her name is Cara Maya Spencer. She's a licensed massage therapist and a certified doula. She's a postpartum doula and a childbirth educator, and a wonderful parent and woman's activist. She is also a writer and teacher of women's healing arts and pregnancy massage. She offers birth cycle consultations over the phone or in person and doula support services in the Eugene, Oregon area. Cara is additionally the owner of Mandala Hoops, a hula hoop store. And I will say from personal experience, her hoops are great. You can find them at mandalahoops.com. So her first website is mayahealingarts.com, MAIAHEALINGARTS.com, and her other website is mandalahoops.com, www.mandalahoops.com. The book of this podcast is a wonderful book by James Green, The Herbal Medicine Maker's Handbook, a Home Manual. It's published by Crossing Press, publication date December 30th, 2000. This is a fabulous book, and I recommend it for all of our students because it covers just about everything in processing herbal medicine. The Herbal Medicine Maker's Handbook blends the herbalist author's natural home remedies with his perspectives on the art of herbal medicine applications. He also has recipes for folk extractions, including plenty of recommendations for usage. This book covers scientific application and formulation with good old-fashioned traditional herbal values. If you have any questions or you're interested in a catalog for our educational programs, please visit our website at www.heartofherbs.com. The music of the podcast is Archaeology by Blue Ground Undergrass, recorded live at the Poor House, Charleston, South Carolina, January 22nd, 2006.
In my hometown, nothing seems the same, but it's frozen in my memory like the ruins of Pompeii. I must have buried my heart well underneath this road, stuck here on Main Street, like this lump in my throat. And it feels like archaeology, this digging up the past. On earth, thought would last, they last, they last. Oh, here in my old high school, it's been a lot of years. So why am I afraid just to walk in here? We're hidden in these halls, artifacts and fragments of fear, buried and forgotten. Thought they disappeared. Come on now. And it feels like archaeology, this digging up the past. Unearthed another part of me. Things I never thought would last. They last, they last. Whoa. David Blackman, ladies and gentlemen.
Doing tonight.
Just kidding. Just saw the interstate. And a duplex in the field. And a super Walmart and a tube of sock world and a factory Bible designer outletter sitting there in his place. It's digging up the past. Unearthed another part of. This digging up the past, unearthed another part of me. Things I never thought would last, they last, they last. Whoa.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much.